If you would remain standing, please, for our Scripture and then our praise hymn this morning, Sanctuary. Our Scripture this morning comes from the 6th chapter of Acts, verse 8 of chapter 6 through verse 1 of chapter 7. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face of an angel. Then the high priest said, "Are these things so?" Sanctuary. Father, as we come today, we thank you that we can come to this place, this sanctuary. But Lord, may we not rest in this sanctuary, but may we provide ourselves as a sanctuary for your presence, for your work to be done. Lord, we honor you with all that we are, and may your words be spoken. May all be yours here today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, sometimes, no matter what is going on, no matter what the situation, the circumstances of the day and time, there are just some things that need to be said sometimes. There are some things that we need to hear. There are sometimes things that we need to hear at our workplace. Sometimes things we need to hear in our families. And there are sometimes that there's things that we need to hear in the church. And this statement this chapter, the 7th chapter in particular, that comes here after the scripture I've read to you about Stephen, are some things I believe that the church needs to hear. And Stephen was speaking. We think about church, we think about the Christian church today. We think about our setting here. And when I say church needs to hear, Stephen was speaking these things that the church needed to hear that day. Which I'm speaking of is the Jewish council, the temple officials, the religious officials of that day, the synagogue. Stephen was speaking to them, and I hope that what we are talking about here today that we can translate that over into what we need to hear. There's a lot of things there. It's probably going to be a two-parter sermon there. You probably don't want me to keep you here as long as I could go on what the church needs to hear, so we'll probably have the second part of this next week. But the first thing that I want you to notice that the church needs to hear comes in the 2nd through 8th verses of chapter 7. I don't have these verses up, and I'm not going to read all these verses, but you can make note of them if you'd like. Go back and read them. In these verses, we see that one of the things that the church needs to know is that we are called by God. In this passage, Stephen recounts to the to the scribes and the Pharisees and those on the Jewish council. He recounts to them their call through Abraham. Now, Abraham is the father of the Jewish faith, right? We all know that. They knew it so much better than we ever even imagine knowing it today. They knew these things. It wasn't news to them what Stephen was telling them, but he was reminding them, because sometimes, folks, we just need to be reminded. We need to hear about our call, about our history, about our past. And I talk a lot about that we don't need to be looking back always and holding on to what was grandma's or grandpa's or great-grandma's, because their faith was their faith. And our faith today is not connected to that in the sense that we're not going to get to heaven, we're not going to get closer to Christ, we're not going to reach people for Christ on our grandparents, great-grandparents, or whoever's faith. It's ours and ours alone. But there is a time when the church needs to hear, needs to look back, and recount and remember their call. For the church in Israel in that day, for the Jewish synagogue, for the temple, for those folks at the in the council, it was remembering that God had called Abraham. He called him out of a land. He called him out of the land of the Chaldeans from Ur. And he had called him to be a separate people, to leave where he was and to go where God was leading him. Folks, the same call is for us today. In the church today, we need to remember our roots, remember our call, remember where we came from. And as Protestant Christians in this world today, we need to remember that we come out of the heritage of Martin Luther, where he came up and re-established and rediscovered that grace by faith, that justification by faith and faith alone, that it was not what you did in church or how much money you gave or the penance that you did. It was all about faith, being justified through faith in Christ and Christ alone. As United Methodists, we need to remember those roots and go back to our heritage in Wesleyan, in the Wesleyan Foundation, where John Wesley established the Methodist movement. The Methodist was not a church. In Wesley's day, it was only a church. There was only a Methodist church in the very last years of Wesley's life. The Methodist, as we know it now, was a movement within the Church of England. John Wesley established it because he saw a complacency and he saw unresponsiveness to God's call in church people's lives. And he felt like that people should be doing things to illustrate their love for Christ. And not just sitting back and saying, okay, I'm baptized, nothing more, I'm on the church roll, I'm good. Wesley instituted all kinds of social justices and reforms. He did things that nobody else were doing in that day and time. He visited prisoners who were in horrible situations of prisons in that day and time. He visited sick, the elderly, the orphans, the widows, those that had nothing. Wesley was all about them. He was all about reaching out to them, not just because it was a social injustice, but because these were people that Jesus Christ loved, that God had created, and He loved them as much as He loves any of us. We need to remember our roots. One of the things that the church needs to know today, the church, our church, the church today needs to know where we came from. We need to know our roots, know our calling, know that we are justified by faith alone, and know that we are called to reach out and to love and to serve those who are least in our midst. The second thing that the church needs to know is that we turn from God. That comes in the we see that when Stephen recounts the story of the patriarchs, as you have Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And Jacob begats the 12 patriarchs, the 12 tribes of Israel. Those are the ones. And we know what happens in the midst of that story, don't we? We know about Joseph. We know that Joseph's brothers turned from God or ignored God, became jealous, became envious, they became self-centered to the point that they wanted to get rid of Joseph because they saw a little something more in Joseph, that God had some plans for him in particular. And so what do? They connive and they plan and they sell Joseph to Egypt into slavery. The church needs to hear today that sometimes we just sell out. Sometimes we become so self-centered that we don't want to give over to anybody else's leadership or leading in the church. We become so self-centered about what I might lose that I can't stand the thought of somebody else doing something or being something in the church. We need to see in the church today, the church needs to know that we must not be self-centered. That when we become self-centered, we're hurting who? Well, we're hurting ourselves. But even worse than that, if you're just hurting yourself, I could live with that, somebody just hurting themselves. But you're hurting the body of Christ when you become self-centered. Because you are taking away from what you could be giving to God first and foremost in serving and in loving. But you're drawing away because when you become self-centered, somebody's got to pick up the slack and somebody's got to be loving on you. Somebody's got to be ministering to you. Well, we know that God will not be denied. And that Joseph, even though he was wrongly sold into slavery, that God was with him. That God prospered him in slavery. We need to sometimes understand, the church today needs to know, that we cannot become self-centered. The next thing we need to know is that God will deliver us, even through our sinfulness, faults, and human frailties. We find this in this same passage, 9 through 17, because Joseph was delivered himself. But more even so than that, the nation of Israel, the would-be nation of Israel, the patriarchs, Jacob and the patriarchs were saved, were delivered because Joseph was in a position to save them when the famine came. God will deliver us. The church needs to hear that today. That even though we may make a mess sometimes, even though I can't count the number of times that I've made a mess, that I should have done something that I didn't, that I did something that I shouldn't, I should have said something when I didn't, and I said something when I should. Yeah, we've all done that. But even despite my failures, my shortcomings, we need to know, even despite your failures, your shortcomings, even despite the church's shortcomings and failures, God will deliver us when we're putting our best foot forward, when we're trying, when we're striving, and when we're making that effort. God will deliver us, folks. If 8 years ago, or let me ask you this first. Do you think us building this building over here was God's will 3 years ago? Was it God's will? I hear yes. I hope everyone believes it was God's will. Well, if it was God's will, do you think it would have happened if somebody else would have been appointed here 8 years ago? Yes, it would. It would. God cannot be, His plan is not going to be derailed simply by human activities. We cannot defeat God. We cannot contend with God. His will be done. It may have been done a little bit differently than it was. It may have happened in a little different time frame than it was. But it would have happened because God was in it. We must remember, the church needs to remember, that God will deliver us. Next thing that needs to be remembered, that the church needs to know, is that bad things happen even when we're doing right. Verses 17 through 36, we have the account of the children of Israel being put into slavery. I mean, they weren't doing anything wrong. They were there. Pharaoh gave them a place to live. He was good. You know, Joseph was right in his second in command. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing at that point. They were not doing anything wrong. But some 400 years later, what is their situation? They're in terrible misery and persecuted and burdened to death as slaves. Not to any of their own fault. Sometimes, folks, the church needs to hear today that we don't have to have great explanations. We don't have to have everything explained to us totally clear on why bad things happen. We see all these disasters that have happened in the last few months. Tsunami in Japan and all that surrounded that. Tornadoes through North Carolina and then through other parts of the South another week later. Flooding on an unscaled level down the Mississippi Valley. Who can explain these things? Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes nature in a fallen world brings us difficult things. And I can't explain it. I can't justify it. All I can say is that it's been happening since the beginning of time in this fallen world in which we live. And the church needs to understand, needs to see, the church needs to hear that bad things happen, even when we seemingly are doing the right thing. We do not know the mind of God. We do not know the plans that He has down the road. We simply have to trust. We also need to see here, that comes in this same passage, is that oftentimes, even when we have been delivered, and we know what happens to the Israelites, God delivers them through the works of Moses, through all the miracles and signs, leads them out of Egypt. They get out there. Moses goes up Mount Sinai to receive the commandments and all the instructions that God has for him. What happens then? Stephen tells them that God's people rebel again. We rebel again and again and again. And the church needs to understand that rebellion is an option for so many people when things seem to get into a difficult or tight spot. The children of Egypt, children of Israel, immediately upon Moses being gone for just a few days longer than what they thought he should be, they want a golden calf. They want something in which they can worship, something visible and tangible that they can set their hands on. The church needs to hear today that there are idols in our lives everywhere we turn. There are idols we are constructing idols continuously. Is it an idol of overindulgence in something? That we have to have the most and the best of the things that the world provides? We have to have the biggest toys, the newest toys. We have to have the newest clothes, the latest fashions. We have to have whatever it is. We erect idols. Maybe it's our job. It's money. It's power. It's prestige. Whatever we want to put in that place, we are constantly constructing idols, even though God has delivered us and brought us from a barren place. The church needs to hear today that we rebel and we establish idols. And the last thing that I want to share with you this morning that the church needs to hear is that God always provides a means by which we can come into His presence. See, the children of Israel, when they built this calf, you know, they needed something that they could worship at. You know, that's what they had seen, the Egyptians, and they had all their gods and everything. We're out here in the desert and we don't have anything familiar. We need somewhere we can worship. Well, God provides for them. He gave them He gave Moses the instructions for the tabernacle that they could build and that they could it was portable. They could take it down and they could carry it with them wherever they went. And when they camped, they would erect it and they had a place to worship. They had the place, the inner Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was stored, where the tablets that Moses brought down were at, where manna was kept, where Aaron's rod that budded was in that chest, that container, in that room where it was kept at and housed at. That was the Holy of Holies, the place where God resided. God provided them with a tabernacle in which to worship. And then later, after they became a nation, we know what happened. that David desired to have a permanent dwelling for God, and God didn't allow him to build it, but he allowed his son Solomon to build it. And the temple was built and consecrated, and there was a place where God resided. And see, the Israelites thought in Stephen's day, because see, Stephen had talked about what Jesus had said about the temple being torn down in 3 days and all of that. They thought that he was talking about God's temple, that he was going to tear that down. And they just couldn't stand the thought of that, because all of their hopes, all of their dreams, all of their plans for future glory was centered around that place. You see, the church needs to hear today, folks, that the tabernacle, that God's dwelling place, is not in four walls anywhere. Be it Jerusalem, be it Candler, North Carolina, or anywhere else on the globe. The tabernacle, God's dwelling place, is not confined in space. The church needs to hear that today, because we become so self-centered and so preoccupied with our church. This is my church. This is our church. Well, I understand that sense, and it's not wrong to always say, Francis Asbury is my church. I understand what you say, and most of the time when you say that, you're saying, that's where my membership is. That's where I worship at on a regular basis. That's where I contribute and work to do God's, fulfill God's blessings and fulfill God's purpose in the world. That's okay. But when it becomes my church and I'm not welcoming to someone else, when it becomes my church and I turn people away because they're not the same color I am, or the same age that I am, or the same gender that I am, or the same anything that I am, that's when it becomes wrong, and that's when the church needs to hear that the tabernacle that was built in the wilderness, God could care less about that. What He wanted was the people to come to Him and to love Him and to worship Him. And that's the same thing here today. If a tornado came through here tonight, next week, we could still worship God just like we can today, even though the roof would be gone or whatever else gone. And heaven help, and I pray that nothing like that happens. But if it did, and it has to people in the last month in the South, in this very state, they can still worship, because God is not confined by spaces. He is where we are, and where we come together. The church needs to hear that. The true tabernacle is right here in our hearts. And that's what I want to ask you this morning. Have you allowed yourself, your heart, opened it to be a tabernacle for the love of God, for His presence in your life? We sing this morning our praise song, Sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. We sing it. We say the words. Have we done it? Is your heart a sanctuary today for the living God? The church needs to hear lots of things these days. It needs to hear that we are called by God. It needs to hear that we become self-centered so quickly, and that even in the midst of that, though, God will deliver us. It needs to hear that bad things happen, even when we're seemingly doing exactly what we should be doing. It needs to hear that God delivers even though others are trying to destroy. It needs to hear that once again we rebel again. We're kind of in a cycle there. And finally, it needs to hear that God wants our hearts to be His place of residency, and not a building, not a place. Are your hearts open, and is it prepared to be a sanctuary for the living God? Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You love us, that You gave us Your Son, and that You are striving continually through the Spirit to open us and prepare us that we can be a living sanctuary for You. Lord, may we honor You with our love, our attentiveness, and our presence. Lord, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.